Good morning, all. You have found the Effective Church Leaders Podcast, a podcast designed to provide actionable ideas to help you become more effective in your ministry. We are grateful for your interest in this podcast and, of course, in the health and growth of your church.
Yes, we are.
In case this is your first time to join us, first, thank you so much for coming our way. And second, let us introduce ourselves. We are Carrie and Becky Holton. We are part of the Effective Church Leaders Ministry team. We love the Lord and His church, as you no doubt do, and we want to help and support church leaders in any way that we can. Okay, enough of the amenities. Let's get to our content for this week, hon.
All right, let's do that. And our frequent listeners know that we are in a series on community outreach. We've suggested in this series the need for churches to develop an outward focus, to give attention to their digital presence, to design Sunday morning assemblies with outsiders in mind, and give special attention to their children's ministry. And by the way, by children, we are referring to the kiddos from birth to grade 5. We're not trying to ignore and leave the teenagers out, those in grades 6 through 12, but we would label that group as part of a student ministry, and we distinguish them from the children's ministry. But anyway, we were scheduled to discuss next the recommendations and tips for churches to become more service-oriented, you know, as in meeting some of the needs of their communities. But we've changed our minds. I've heard wise people change their minds. Have you heard that? We're going to go with that. And we want to alter the schedule of this series just a little bit.
Yeah, we did change our minds. We hope to return to the topic of community service in a few weeks, but today we want to talk about implementing a guest follow-up plan. We've talked about the presence of guests in our Sunday morning assemblies, but it occurred to us that just here in the series, it might be a good idea to talk about following up and how we do that with those guests who come.
Mm-hmm. You know, it might be good to remind our listeners before we get into practical tips and suggestions that the mission of the church is indeed to reach outsiders. We've mentioned this many times, and we don't want to beat a dead horse or a dead church. But again, we really need to ask ourselves, do we really want to reach outsiders? Do we really want guests? Or are we just going to be shocked if somebody comes?
Yeah. You know, I've heard this line before, referring to the Sunday morning assembly. We exist for those who aren't here.
Oh,
and I like that a whole lot. Well, honey, I think another question that we should ask is, do we even expect outsiders in our weekend
That's
services?
Right.
Are we expecting any non-believers in our church assemblies? Are we prepared for any guests who may arrive? Are we prepared for them? Well, if we are prepared for them, we will have some kind of follow-up plan. And you know, my guess is that many churches don't have such a plan to follow up with their guests. And that may indicate that those churches really aren't looking for guests to show up in their assemblies. So if we expect guests, we really need to give some thought to how we would welcome them and how we would follow up with them. All right. Well, let's talk about some possible guest follow-up strategies.
Okay. You know, the first strategy is very familiar to most of us if we've been in church for a long time. And the first strategy is to ask a guest to fill out our quote-unquote visitor's card. And on that card would be a space for listing name, address, phone number, and possibly a place to request more information about the church. You know, this is sort of an old-fashioned, old-school way of getting a record of those who attend. And we'll often hear, too, a quote that says something like, we ask both members and visitors to fill out an attendance card on the back of the pew in front of you. And after completing it, would you pass the card to the end of the row and drop it in, or drop it in the collection plate? I mean, that's just a common refrain that you often hear in churches that is typically addressed to visitors. Of course, there ought not to be any pressure at all on guests to fill out an attendance card. The guest should be in the driver's seat. He or she should be given the freedom to reveal whatever information they want to reveal and whenever they want to share that. You know, saying this reminds me, honey, of an experience we've shared before with some of our listeners, and I think it is bears repeating again. We were visiting a church in Colorado for the first time, and one of the churches introduced himself to us before worship started and asked us to fill out an attendance card and drop it in the collection tray.
One of the elders of that church.
Right.
Yeah.
We didn't do that, and after worship, I think immediately after the final amen, that same elder came to us and said, rather sternly, "I noticed you didn't fill out an attendance card." And apparently this fella had gone through the cards in those trays and noticed that we hadn't completed a card. Now, my guess is that we were probably the only one visiting that day, so there weren't any cards for him to file through to figure out that we hadn't done that. And you responded that, you know, we really weren't ready to give out that information and we just didn't want to complete a card that day. And he responded very tersely, "I don't care if you don't want to fill out a visitor's card. I want you to complete one."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what did I do?
I think you sat down and you completed it.
Yeah.
He felt just a bit coerced and that probably wasn't a place for us to have a little bit more of a lively conversation about
it. Well, I guess I decided that I could go ahead and give the church the information that mm-hmm. this elder wanted. And I'm sure he meant well. He was just wanting to follow up with visitors, I suppose. But I've thought since that happened, I've thought, what if some other visitor had received that kind of a response from that elder, mm-hmm. well-meaning though he probably was, that very likely would have been the last time that visitor ever darkened the doors of that church building.
Well, as I recall, that was the last time we darkened the doors of that church building, because that's not a conversation that builds trust and a sense that this is the place I belong.
Well, it's not the approach I think we want to take to our visitors.
No.
Anyway.
Not particularly hospitable and welcoming.
No. Anyhow, that is one way of trying to get information to enable follow-up. Ask your guests to complete a visitor's card. And another way would be to invite guests to stop by your information table or your connections area on their way out. And I've heard of a church that does this. They have a staffed connections area near the exit doors in the lobby, staffed with friendly, well-informed people. And guests are invited to drop by that table or booth on their way out and meet someone at that booth or table and maybe even share some information about why they were there that day or what they are looking for in a church or mm-hmm. maybe even yield their name and email right. address. I don't know.
I guess if the guest is looking for more information about the church, you know, they could go to that information table and get a lot of those questions that they have answered.
Sure. And it gives someone at that table or booth an opportunity to get a name and an address or telephone number, too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just kind of like that human contact where,
yep.
you know, you feel a little more comfortable in knowing a person who's receiving your information.
Right.
And, you know, like it or not, that's a big deal these days, who's going to get our information. You know, and some churches who invite their guests to take this step, you know, maybe to go to an information booth, they'll offer a gift from the church at those connection or information areas. It might be a mug with the church's logo on it or even a gift certificate to a local Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. I mean, I like the Starbucks one better, but I suppose a gift is just a very practical and generous way to say, you know, we're just so glad you came today and thank you for coming. And here's just a little, it's kind of like a little housewarming gift from us.
Yeah, I like
that too. I just
kind
of like that. You know, and speaking of what we have seen in churches, here's something else churches can do to follow up with their guests that we are seeing a lot more of. They can put a QR code on the screen in the front or on the chair in front of them or at a foyer kiosk, for example, that allows the guests to offer more information digitally. And by the way, I think I forgot to mention this to you. I actually saw those QR codes inside the restroom when I stopped at the restroom on the back of the doors, you
okay.
know, and I thought that was pretty creative.
Someone was thinking.
Yes. Well, it's a place where it's quiet and you can make a decision about what you want to do there.
Yeah. And just think about what information that a church would be seeking when someone connected with that QR code. I heard from a connections minister in a church that their goal is to move guests from FLEP to STEP.
FLEP to STEP.
FLEP to STEP. And the acronym FLEP, F-L-E-P, stands for first name, last name, email address, and phone number.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And STEP, of course, is just a reference to whatever next step the church or connections team would like to see a guest take after visiting a church, say, for the first time.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of QR codes as a digital way to fill out a visitor's card, there is another method used to follow up with guests that is by texting a response on their phone. And by the way, these QR codes and texting responses, these really are especially attractive to younger families and younger guests. Mm-hmm. It just heads up. So, for example, there might be an invitation on a screen to text the word new to a certain phone number of the church. That, again, is just another way for a guest to let the church leaders know that they were there, that they visited, if the guest wants to let someone know that they were there and visiting. Right. And, you know, so some of the language on a QR code might say something like, we would like to connect with you. If you would let us know that you came today, text the word new, you know, to a certain number. And after texting that number, the guests will get a message that would be automatically delivered then back to them. And the message would say something like, you'll now receive communication from, say, Main Street Church. Text stop to cancel or help for help. Or maybe another automatic message might say something like, thanks for connecting with Main Street Church. Please tap below to let us know more about you. That, you know, that could be followed by a link that would take the guest to another page that would say something like, please enter your information to stay in contact with us. And then there might be a space for insertion of a first name, last name, email address, and phone number. And then it might say something like, by clicking the submit button, you agree to receive communications from Main Street Church. Text stop to cancel or help for assistance. I mean, there's all kinds of messages that you can design that will be warm and inviting and friendly that will go back to the guest, to the visitor. And in many ways, this may feel awkward to those of us that are a little older, but it actually feels safer and more comfortable to younger families and younger guests, which is, you know, those are the folks we're really trying to connect with these days.
And by the way, if the guest texts stop to cancel any further communication,
it really stops.
Somebody needs to stop it.
It better stop.
I mean, isn't it frustrating to receive a message and they encourage you to press stop, text stop if you want to stop getting these messages, and they keep coming one after another.
You need to stop. I'm starting to get digital PTSD. I mean, you just stand there and stop, stop, stop. Yeah. So if they say stop, and also if they say, I would like some assistance, someone needs to be all over that before a week from that day.
Yeah, and someone at that church needs to follow up that same day. Absolutely. To such a text.
Absolutely.
You know, I noticed that one church responded this way, thanks for texting new. My name is, and then they gave their name, and I'm the connections minister here at, let's say, Main Street Church. I'd love to hear about your visit, and if there's anything we can do to make you feel at home.
Oh, my goodness. I like that. That's such a personal and warm touch. Is there anything we can do to make you feel at home? I just really like that. And it keeps the guests in the driver's seat. There's no coercion at all. I just really like that one. And, you know, we should also add that if churches want to implement this kind of follow-up, they should seriously consider an app that would automate a lot of this follow-up process. We know churches that use text in app. And to get started on this, go to their website, which is textinchurch, one word, textinchurch.com, for more information. This is an online company that provides an app for just this kind of connection with guests and church members too, by the way. Isn't that fantastic?
Yes, wonderful.
Somebody's thinking out there.
Wonderful what technology offers the church today.
And someone is saying, how can we create something that helps people
connect,
helps churches connect, and helps people connect, and helps everybody feel comfortable, and let's get efficient about this thing.
Yes. Yeah, and here's another follow-up method that we've heard that churches are practicing, at least some churches are practicing. Someone from the pulpit may announce that if guests could spare 5 minutes at the close of worship, the minister, or some other church leader for that matter, would like to meet them. The church is just asking for 5 minutes of their time, and the purpose is to meet the minister. Mm. And this would be the announcement for, say, first-time guests or first-time visitors.
I think that's kind of special.
Yeah, I do too.
Meet the minister.
Meet the minister.
Because they've been looking at him for 30 minutes, and why not let them actually have a face-to-face connection with him?
Right. I like that.
Yeah.
And then this same church has a follow-up procedure for second-time visitors. There's the invitation for guests to meet in a certain room for coffee and donuts with others in the church.
They would have people at donuts on that one.
Yeah. And this would be not a 5-minute visit, but a 15-minute visit with members of the church. And again, the purpose is to make introductions and to begin to establish a relationship with a guest. This same church that I'm thinking of has a procedure for third-time visitors. Hmm. And there is this offer. If you have questions about our church, some of our church leaders will be meeting in room 23, let's say, and this would be a 30-minute meeting where you're giving guests the opportunity to ask whatever questions they might have about the church that they are visiting. And then finally, there is the invitation to come to a 45-minute meeting after worship in which guests can learn more about the church.
You know what I really like about that is that there are time limits on all of those, because people, first of all, they don't have to go anywhere, come back, they're already there. They can do it right then. And for church leaders to be faithful to stay with that 5-minute, 15-minute, 30-minute, 45-minute restriction and be respectful to people's time, that builds trust. It just does.
It lets people know that you respect their schedules, you respect their time, and as you say, it does build trust. And by the way, these minutes with guests, well, they are designed to get to know them better and for the guests to get to know members better. I think we should add that the goal of the church that we are thinking about, the goal of the church that uses this more detailed follow-up method, is to build a relationship.
Right.
I mean, it is maybe to get some more information about those who come to their assemblies, but really it's to make a personal connection with the guest and to start to build a friendship with the guest that may evolve into an opportunity to share the gospel with them.
Right. I love that. You know, and obviously the church that we refer to above is keeping good records of those who visit their assemblies and how many times they come. So they know if a guest is a first timer or a fourth timer. And maybe that's the thing we want to say in this episode. Churches should be keeping very detailed records of those who come to their assemblies. I don't believe there has ever been any question about the need to keep up with church members' attendance records. Most churches, in our experience, have some way of doing this because they know how important the Sunday morning assembly is to a person's spiritual health. But they may not give that much good attention to keeping good records on the attendance patterns of guests. In fact, you'll hear people say, "Have you seen so-and-so?" And they go, "Well, I guess it's been a while since we've seen them," you know, instead of having that detailed information. And again, if they aren't keeping a record of the guests who come on Sunday and how many times they've come, you know, we just have to wonder how interested that church really is in reaching not yet believers. I mean, let's take our mission seriously to make disciples. Let's desire to see non-Christians come to our church, and let's expect them to show up. So let's ask, what should be our response to our guests? Surely it should be more than a handshake and I hope you come back. Let's be more intentional about implementing a well-considered follow-up strategy for our guests and prove to them that you really do want them to come.
Yeah. You know, honey, how times change. You talk about the fact that We have known of churches that really insisted on knowing that their ministers were that their members were coming
right
to church services. And I remember a time, which probably tells folks how old I am, I remember a time when you would walk up to a board in the foyer and pull a tee, a golf tee, out of a hole where your name was.
Our church was fancier. We didn't use coffee trees. We had classy little plastic pegs.
Plastic pegs.
Clear.
Yeah. And now then we went from those to attendance cards that were passed down the aisles. And now it's, and I've heard of churches that take a picture, a photograph of the assembly, of those who are in the assembly. And then on Monday morning, you've got someone who looks over that photograph to see who has been there and who hasn't. And now we have evolved to a digital way of keeping record. But I think you make a good point there, is that we really ought to try to keep a record of our guests who come to worship just as much as we keep a record of our members who come to worship.
I mean, the reason we keep up with members is some people live alone, some people get sick, some people just have tragedies, or they have had things that cause their faith to unravel, and you want to just keep up with them. Are they okay? This is not about warming a pew and giving money to pay the energy bill. It is about people's souls and us helping each other follow our path to God. And why wouldn't we want to do that with visitors too?
Right. Why don't we just start the process earlier?
Yeah.
Than we normally would. Okay, well, I guess it's time for us to sign off. Yeah. But you know, honey, before I do, I just had a thought here. Most of the tips that we've suggested today would be utilized by maybe pretty good-sized churches, at least 100, 150, 200 members on a Sunday morning. Maybe we should say just a brief word to those who may be part of a smaller church. There may not be a need for you to have a QR code or for you to have a text-in app that allows you to connect digitally with guests. I mean, you may be small enough that you can know right away when a guest comes through those doors into the auditorium. And maybe the best way for you to follow up is to just immediately go to that person and say, hey, we're sure glad you came today, and we'd like to see you come back. Now, someone will need to try to keep an eye out to see if that first-time visitor will come back. And there probably still needs to be some kind of way of trying to collect information, if possible, of course, keeping the guest in the driver's seat. But I think we just ought to acknowledge that not all of the tips that we suggest would be applicable to, let's say, a very small church, a smaller church body. Anyway, okay. Well, with that, why don't we say so long, listeners? We'll plan to return in a couple of weeks with another episode in this series on community outreach. And we trust that today we've given you some actionable ideas in this episode on developing a follow-up plan for guests to your Sunday assemblies. We'll plan on doing the same in our next episode on becoming a service-oriented church.
I'm eager to record that episode.
Yeah, me too. Well, thanks for tuning in, friends. May God bless you, and we will see you next time.